Please stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Accelerate Solution Delivery by Simplifying and Modernizing Your Applications with Rational Business Developer Extension. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how Rational Business Developer Extension can help you create new business applications once and then use them across platforms. The speaker for today's teleconference is Stefano Sergi, Rational Business Developer Extension Marketing Manager. At this time, I'll turn things over to Mr. Sergi.
Thank you. My name is Stefano Sergi, and I'm the product manager for the Rational Business Developer Extension, which is one of the new products that we at Rational have recently made available to address the needs of IT organizations and must deliver modern software business solutions within the constraints of the existing software investment and the reality of the skills available in the software development organizations. So let's move on to chart number two, and let's quickly review the topics that I would like to cover over the next 30 or 40 minutes. First, we will look at the business drivers that are shaping the evolution of IT. And in this context, we will look more specifically at the challenges of software development, of course. And then we will briefly review what we refer to as the notion of business-driven development and the overall IBM Rational approach. Then we'll take a closer look specifically at the challenges of modern business application construction, and we will introduce the IBM Rational Business Developer Extension product, which delivers the Eclipse-based tooling for the enterprise generational language technology. And then we'll briefly describe the capabilities and their value proposition, and we'll talk about some of our recent customer successes that use this technology. So let's move on and go to chart number three. A few years ago, IBM defined the notion of an on-demand business, which basically captures the essence of what most and possibly all businesses, including government, need to strive for in order to survive and grow and thrive in a global economic climate. An on-demand business is an enterprise whose business processes integrated end-to-end across the company and with key partners, suppliers, and customers is able to respond with speed to customers' demand, market opportunities, and external threats. This is a great definition, and it's hard to deny that it's not a desirable goal. And to achieve this goal, companies are focusing on the key elements of this definition and generating some very visible trends in the marketplace. We see companies refocusing on their business processes to increase efficiency and responsiveness. Now, we see them wanting tighter and tighter integration with their information, their people, their processes. We see efforts to extend the processes and network beyond the company walls and include suppliers, vendors, customers, and so forth. And we at Rational in particular, we see a much growing awareness that software is at the center, at the core of this type of transformation. So let's go on and move on to chart number four. So as the business leaders realize the critical role that software plays in their ability to achieve the business transformation goals, the IT organizations are trying to mature their approach to software delivery. And this chart basically shows the different dimensions on how customer priorities have evolved over the last few years in terms of scope of the product and services needed by IT organizations to enable delivery of software solutions and in terms of focus also. Software development typically was an individual activity or occurred in small teams of developers that typically used to work in the same location. And as organizations evolved and software development became more complex, the focus shifted from individual productivity to team and to organizational productivity. And today, organizations are facing new challenges. They're building more complex systems, and they're leveraging geographically distributed development teams. They have to deal with more stringent regulatory compliance issues. And we see more and more attention to the issue of closely coupling business objectives to software development. And we call this a business-driven development approach that puts an emphasis on continuous portfolio management, lifecycle management, good governance practices, and so forth. And we see also a growing interest in a development approach that supports service-oriented architectures, because these are the architectures that provide the best support for business and IT alignment. So these are customer priorities that Rational actually addresses with what we call the software delivery platform. So let's move on to chart number 5. Rational offers a combination of products and services that are the results of our expertise that we developed over the last 25 years, helping customers improve their software development practices. So we enable organizations to establish very clear chains of responsibility and measurable objectives throughout the life cycle. And this helps customers transform their software delivery process into a strategic company asset, and therefore become better able to fulfill the business imperatives that are most prevalent today and that we here on this chart show on the left: global capability, time to market, flexibility, ability to manage risk and compliance, and so forth. And as complex software projects morph their way into and through development, a Rational automated control and communication infrastructure keeps multiple teams on top of changes. Every member can assess the potential impact of these changes on other projects, and even those that are in different parts of the enterprise. We also support good decision-making by giving organizations an aggregated view of their software investment so that they can manage a portfolio-style type of management. And so by applying objective measures, they are able to continuously check alignment with business goals and then assess, project value and prioritize the resources allocated to different projects accordingly. And that working within a process-guided framework gives organizations a much better visibility into their operations with greater control and greater efficiency. So once they achieve this greater efficiency, then they can more easily turn their attention on what's new and better instead of on maintenance and re-engineering or just keeping the lights on. So in other words, better development governance opens the door to innovation. And in a complementary way, it also opens the door to greater collaboration up and down the supply chain. So let's now go on to chart number 6. Rational market leadership in helping organizations govern software delivery comes from more than 25 years of proven expertise. The Rational software delivery platform emphasizes iterative development, early testing, and continuous user involvement. The Rational Unified Process, or RUP, has always been the springboard for an evolving platform of products and services that Rational envisioned would one day automate every phase of the software development lifecycle. Today, that vision has actually become a reality. The platform is now a set of integrated end-to-end lifecycle management solutions that span pre- and post-production activities for software delivery. The Rational software delivery platform provides support in 4 basic areas. One is architecture management, and this is to model, design, and rapidly build well-architected applications and services that support SOA. The other one is change and release management, and this helps improve effectiveness and governance with process automation, build management, reporting, and traceability of all the work of teams that can even be geographically dispersed. The other one is process and portfolio management, and that helps align projects and programs with business goals, and it helps better manage and track the projects themselves. And then the other one, of course, is quality management, where, we ensure software functionality, reliability, performance, etc., in that development and in production. So all of those things that contribute to improving quality of your software delivery. And then we have based our integrated solution up upon an open technology infrastructure, and we recognize the importance of community development and innovation, Eclipse obviously being the most recognizable part of this foundation that we have established for the rational self-delivery platform. So let's move on to chart number 7, and let's focus specifically on the key challenges that developers have to face during the construction of services and applications in today's environment. And these actually can be summarized in 3 broad areas. One is the areas of the existing applications, right? The challenges relative to existing applications. These applications, you know, are very valuable. They capture a lot of business knowledge, and they're really the lifeblood of businesses as they operate. However, they're very hard to repurpose to fulfill any new business requirement. They're typically very monolithic. They were not written with reuse and modularity in mind, and they're hard to modify. Therefore, they're very costly to maintain and to extend. And typically, they also absorb very large portions of the IT budgets. And so, you know, often decisions are made to rewrite them so that you can then make them more flexible and easier to modify and to respond to new business needs. But then you get into the dilemma that, you know, what platform am I going to develop it on, and what language am I going to use, and so what are the best choices I need to make in this rewrite so that I don't get boxed in into, you know, when as soon as I'm finished with this new rewrite, the application itself becomes the new legacy. So legacy and existing investment in applications are a key challenge. The second big challenge is skills. And under skills, you know, we can look at this issue from 3 distinct angles. One is that developers are usually very specialized, and their skills are very specific to certain languages, certain platforms, certain middleware that they're used to working on. And so because of that, these developers are not really portable across different projects because they can only do a certain thing. For example, mainframe CI/CS developers cannot do very well or cannot do web at all. Web developers don't know how to do kicks. They use different processes, they do different languages, different methodologies. So you end up with, you know, a lot of fragmentation. And the second issue of skills is that a lot of people, business savvy people, don't know new technology. They've been, you know, dealing with the business aspects of their application, and they understand it very well. So they're very valuable from a domain knowledge standpoint, but they are unable to deliver new systems because they don't know the new technology. So, and often retraining these people is extremely costly, and it's a quite long process. And many organizations just cannot afford the time and the cost. And the third aspect of the skill is a little more subtle. It's the disappearing of the baby boomers, with huge waves of people who know how to handle legacy applications, that know how to handle traditional platforms and transactional environments that exist in mainframes, for example. And these people cannot be replaced by new generations because they, these new generations, have, don't understand these legacy technologies, nor do they want to learn them, to be quite blunt. So often what happens is that, you know, IT managers are forced to look at alternatives. So outsourcing or, you know, end-of-lifing certain things or rewriting them in different ways. And all of these are all costly, very costly things to do. And the third major challenge is platforms, what we call here the fragmentation, the multiplicity of platforms and middleware. So the norm is that with the acquisitions, mergers, downsizing, all of these things that are happening, and then, you know, the emergence of new computing models and new ways of managing information systems, this has all created a proliferation of different computing platforms, different middleware layers, and a lot of fragmentation of skills and a lot of complexity of the interfaces to all of these software layers. So this really is, you know, error-prone, and it slows down application development significantly. So all of these challenges combined all contribute to very high costs. They hamper the ability to respond quickly to new business requirements and to deliver new solutions, and often lead to some compromising. And, you know, building, you know, what the development team is able to build rather than what the business wants them or needs them to build. So let's move on to chart number 8. And from a developer standpoint, let's look at what the challenge from the real practitioner standpoint is. And what does it take today to build these application systems? And if you look closely, it's sort of daunting. It's, let's say you need to build a web-based system that has to access a mainframe backend, and then you want to make sure that whatever you create is reusable. They're, you know, reusable services that may then be part of a service-oriented architecture, or maybe just accessible as a web service outside the scope of that specific context of the application that you're currently trying to deliver. So first, you know, there are lots of different and lots of separate moving parts in these modern systems. You know, each part or each portion of the system has their own programming language. They, each one requires coding to different standards, different interfaces. And all of them must be assembled with specific but very complex architectural application structures. And then each one of these portions of the architecture hits own inherent challenges. See, there are technical complexity when you create, for example, user interface components, when you create business logic components, when you deal with connectivity, or when you have to access databases, or you have to, you know, deal with control logic and glue all these things together. So what that means is that the application programmer ends up spending a lot of time on dealing with technical intricacies before they actually start focusing on solving the business problem, the real business issues that the application has to address. So they have to learn and keep up to speed with a lot of, you know, endless programming layers and programming interfaces, middleware services, understanding frameworks, and you name it. Too many to even mention in detail. For example, let's say you have to do a Java to mainframe. You'll have to typically learn something like HTML, probably Java server faces, and, you know, some of the new emerging, you know, frameworks like Java server faces or struts, or if you don't use a framework, you have to understand how servlets work, and you have to write basically your own framework. And as you go down the stack from a user interface, you want it very responsive. You have to learn the Ajax and the JavaScript and XML. And then if you need to connect to the back end, you have to know how to program in COBOL, understand the Qix interfaces, and so on and so forth. Pretty daunting. Bottom line, that building these applications requires a lot of low-level, very repetitive, very tedious, and very error-prone coding, and a lot of different skills, and typically the use of many different tools, and each one with its own development approach, its own methodologies, and so on and so forth. This is not exactly a high-productivity environment. So let's move on to chart number 9. So to respond to these challenges, Rational has developed a rapid development technology that we call Enterprise Generation Language, and which is based on a few fundamental principles that allows us to accomplish the mission. The first one is that of decoupling the application specification from the target execution runtime. So similarly to modeling, which is predicated on the ability to express system behavior independently from the platform or from the implementation, the actual program specification itself should be independent of the ultimate runtime. The programmer should not be concerned with coding to specific systems interfaces, and the binding to the runtime choice should actually be automated. This is an approach that really has many benefits. For example, you can focus on solving the business problem rather than dealing with technical plumbing. Your code, then, it's inherently portable, and you are not tied to a specific target runtime. And then, also, you can use developers regardless of what the runtime platform will be. So these are all great benefits if you can actually achieve decoupling. Another driving principle is that of simplicity. So the specification has to be simple enough to be easy to learn and easy to use by developers of any background skills. This means hiding the technical complexities of the middleware interfaces behind a much more abstract and more intuitive common specification. Now, of course, despite that simplicity, we also must assure that support and the exploitation of new and emerging technical innovation and, you know, new emerging standards and new computing models. So we need to stay current, even though the specification is neutral, to exploit these evolutions. Another important principle is that, you know, unlike high-productivity tools of the past, the new high-productivity technology has to guarantee optimal deployment to the runtime platform of choice so that the qualities of service of that runtime platform can be fully exploited. So native deployment is absolutely critical. And as we already mentioned earlier, existing applications are critical assets, and any new development technology cannot be a new island. So it has to integrate well and easily with what is already there. And finally, the specification language has to be very productive, but not to the point to compromise the flexibility and the breadth of the solution that you need to build. And it must enable a very agile and a sort of iterative approach to creating software. So these are all the key principles that the IBM Rational Enterprise Generation Language implements too. So let's go to chart number 10. This is basically an overview of what we consider the key characteristics of the product that implements the ability to develop enterprise generation language applications. So this product is essentially, it's called the Rational Business Developer Extension, and it's essentially the Eclipse-based IDE for the enterprise generation language technology, and provides a much simpler but very robust end-to-end development approach for creating modern application or services. And what we see here in this chart is what we consider the six key capabilities that empower these developers to be very productive in a very short time in delivering these high-power modern type of business solutions. So at the core is SOA support. So EGL has been designed from the ground up to make it extremely simple to create and deploy services. And not only to modern application servers, but also to traditional mainframe transactions runtimes. The language itself includes the notion of a service programming construct, which drives implementations to adhere to the architectural principles of service orientation. So this, you know, without having to do any special mapping. You know, for example, you don't have to map from classes to services or from programs to services. You basically define services natively in the language you're implementing. Also, EGL services can be deployed as web services without the need to know all the intricacies of web services standards. Now, developers of whatever skills can easily create services, and they don't need to understand, you know, WSDL, SOAP, XML, etc. So very powerful, and it's really the core of the capabilities of this EGL environment. To support higher level of abstraction is another key goal, and EGL provides a very concise and powerful notation that eliminate the tight coupling with systems and middlewares. So this is really the way that EGL implements that decoupling that we talked about in the previous chart. And what this also does is reduces the amount of manual coding that is needed now to interface all the systems that the application may run upon. EGL also includes, you know, where possible and where appropriate, a certain level of declarative specification. And this is really aimed at reducing repetitive, you know, error-prone coding. For example, just to give an example, associating a validation rule to a data item. So every time the data item is used in a certain context, that validation is it's automatically applied and enforced. And this really reduced, again, a lot of manual coding. The language is an important advantage of the Rational Business Developer Extension product, because EGL provides a real comprehensive, but at the same time, really easy to learn language. It's very modern, modular, very powerful, but it does not require, for example, a paradigm shift to object orientation. So it's more procedural in nature. So therefore, it's easier to learn, especially, you know, by developers of traditional skills background. It also includes a very rich library of built-in functions that support, you know, common business application requirements and that really boost developer productivity. For example, math, date and time math, string manipulation, and things like that. The language, it's also very extensible. And not only that, but it provides built-in interoperability with other languages. For example, you can leverage existing Java functions through EGL interfaces to native Java. And so an EGL developer doesn't need to know Java to actually use a lot of Java functionality. To him or her, it all appears as native EGL interfaces. Code generation is another critical enabler of the requirement for a very robust cross-platform development solution. Although the developers use a simplified notation, we still, we said, need to guarantee optimal deployment to the runtime platform so that you can take advantage of those qualities of service. You can also, for example, leverage native support for systems operations, such as, you know, systems management, monitoring, and so forth. And to accomplish this, a Rational Business Developer Extension provides a code generation engine which transforms this EGL abstract specification into native Java or native COBOL source, and it also generates all the required deployment artifacts that go with it to get the code into the production environment deployed. And finally, tools. A world-class integrated development environment, or IDE, typically comes with developers' productivity tools. And Rational Business Developer Extension is really second to none in this area. By leveraging the Eclipse framework, it can offer, you know, powerful source debugging for EGL, smart editing, visual construction, graphical navigation, all of these things, you know, that you would expect from a state-of-the-art IDE. And it also includes some very specialized tools. For example, EGL support for Java Server Faces-based development tools, which come as part of the Rational platform. So we have actually integrated EGL very, very tightly with that. And we have added a facility that lets you transform, for example, UML models or even database schemas automatically into a completely functional EGL service or an EGL full functional application. So these are the different things that make the Rational Business Developer Extension so powerful and so productive. The next few charts, starting with chart 11, do nothing but kind of go through in a little bit more detail of some of these things that I have summarized in this six balls diagram, if you will. The first one was power of abstraction, as we mentioned in chart number 10. Here we see a few examples of the power of abstraction. The EGL notation, for example, for accessing data is based on the concept of data record, which is a neutral specification that you can associate with data files, with databases, or even with message queues. So this simple abstraction allows the use of very concise verbs such as get that record, add that record, replace that record. And the developer doesn't really need to learn and to code, you know, the DML, the data manipulation language statements of the database manager, for example, or the file system. So rational business developer does all the hard work of generating the approach to code depending on what association you made and the binding of that data record with the actual physical data store. For example, you associate the data record to relational data tables, and he will generate all the SQL necessary to do that access. So very powerful, very, very productive. Another example here of the abstraction is the use of a simple call notation. You can use a call statement, very simple, to implement any type of synchronous communication, either local or remote, with any other program. And all the technical details are hidden from the developer. Don't need to know protocols, don't need to do any data mapping or anything like that. So abstraction is important, and you can kind of see why by these couple of examples. So let's move on to chart number 12. Okay, so here's an example of declarative programming. By defining some properties of an EGL data item, in this case I have a social security number data item, you can associate validation rules, display labels, formatting rules, and so forth. And in this example, we define a pattern that validates the structure of the social security number. And we also define the fact that it's always a required input. And we also created, for example, a specialized validation function, which it's always automatically invoked by the system whenever a user enters a social security number in a screen or a web page, for example. So all the generated applications that use this data item, in whatever context, it will automatically take advantage of these built-in functions. And there was no coding, no procedural coding required at all. And that's the power of declarative programming. Let's go to chart number 13. Here we talk about the integration and support of web development from the EGL standpoint. The Rational Business Developer extension makes it very, very simple for programmers that have no experience whatsoever with J2EE or Java to create web applications that totally leverage the Java Server Faces framework. And this is done with this seamless integration of the EGL development paradigm with the Java Server Faces tools that are part of the Rational Application Developer Workbench. With this tool, we can actually drag and drop EGL data into a JSP, and the appropriate web UI controls are automatically associated to that page, and all the validation and formatting, it's automatically applied with no coding. And to manage the user interaction with that page, then, you can use an EGL page handler, which is a special EGL part where you can actually write business logic in EGL, business logic that is behind that page. So without the need to know Java or even understand the inner working of the JSF framework. So extremely powerful way to allow anybody to create sophisticated web applications. Let's go to chart number 14, the EGL debugger. This is the power of tools, right? The EGL debugger is a real state-of-the-art debugging facility that takes full advantage of the Eclipse platform debug framework. And it provides the ability to control the execution of the EGL application at the EGL source level. So no need to generate any code to actually verify the functionality of your services, of your applications. You don't need to generate Java, you don't need to generate COBOL, you just debug immediately at the EGL level specification. You animate the EGL program, and you can set breakpoints, you can watch EGL variables, you can modify their value, you can reset the program execution to different points in your program and things like that. So very, very powerful. The debugger is also very tightly integrated with non-EGL portion of your application. for example, you can trace through a JSP to EGL, and if you have, you know, the right tools installed, even if you call external programs, like external COBOL programs, you can actually trace through those, executing on a mainframe and back into the EGL source. So this debugging facility, it's very strong, and it really helps promote an agile development approach, very iterative in nature, very powerful. So let's move on to chart number 15. And as we said, the EGL language is designed to give native support for service orientation. So within the language itself, we provide the ability to define services parts, where you can actually just define the data and the logic that implements the service behavior in EGL. These EGL services then can be used to build service-oriented solution either all within EGL or within a broader SOA architecture. So, for example, you can generate the EGL service as a web service, so without the need to be an expert in web services standards. EGL also provides the ability to define EGL interfaces to external services. And then again, that means you can actually consume from within your EGL simplified environment any external services that were developed by third parties, for example. And again, this shields developers from the technical complexities of SOA and makes web services transparently appear as EGL things. Let's move to chart number 16. So thanks to this service support and thank you to the platform neutrality of EGL, the Rational Business Developer extension makes it possible to build service-oriented solution focusing on the business aspect of the services rather than their technical complexities, and deploy business services to any platform by generating the appropriate service implementation code and the necessary deployment artifacts. For example, you can deploy the same EGL service to either a mainframe KIX environment by generating COBOL KIX program and all the relative artifacts that will make that service accessible as a web service, or you can deploy it to a J2EE server such as Tomcat or WebSphere by generating Java. So extremely powerful and extremely productive way of dealing with SOA. Now let's move on to chart 17. One of the key differentiators that EGL and Rational Business Developer extension offers is that, you know, it, although it uses a much simpler and a unified development paradigm, it provides the ability to address a very broad variety of application requirements with a true unified end-to-end development approach. So using Rational Business Developer, you can create web applications, you can create traditional, you know, text-based interfaces, you can create rich user interface applications, you can create reports, or you can create batch type of applications, and of course, as we said before, you can create services or interact with other services. So for each of these type of application requirement, EGL offers specialized support with a powerful language and with the built-in interoperability with other programs written in any language, and it supports access to data stored in a very, very broad variety of data stores and databases. So this is really a statement of flexibility of the EGL and Rational Business Developer approach. Let's go to chart number 18. And, of course, in addition to that flexibility, another dimension of the flexibility is in the type of options of deployment that you have. Services or applications that are developed in EGL can be generated by the Rational Business Developer into COBOL or Java. And the generated COBOL can be deployed natively, for example, to System Z. You could deploy it to the KIX Transaction Manager, or to a System Z batch partition, and in an upcoming release of the Rational Business Developer, you will also be able to generate it to the IMS Transaction Manager. The generated COBOL can also be deployed to System I in the native operating system i5OS, If you generate instead Java from the same EGL notation, then your executables can be deployed to any environment where you can install a Java virtual machine. For example, on Systema, you can deploy generated Java to Linux or to USS, or you can deploy it to WebSphere app server for ZOS. If you want to distribute to a distributed platform, then you can deploy to WebSphere or Tomcat running on Windows, Unix, or Linux. And, of course, on Systema, you can also deploy Java to either the i5OS with the Java virtual machine installed or to a WebSphere application server running on the Systema. So very, very flexible option of deployment from the exact same original specification. In chart number 19, you know, I went through a lot of detail, and I thought it may be a good idea to just, you know, go back and take the 50,000 feet view again. And what I attempted to do here, and it's probably a useful thing, is to kind of group all the things we talked about by their contribution to a specific value proposition that they provide to business application development organizations. And you see here that the difference is really the combination of all these values, the power that comes from all these things, the flexibility that comes from all these things, the simplicity, the productivity, and the robustness of what you can do. So these are really contribute to making organizations much more responsive to business needs. So if we go to chart number 20, we now have a much better understanding of the different aspects of EGL and of the Rational Business Developer extension. We can tie all this now back to the construction challenge that we introduced earlier in this presentation and see how Rational Business Developer extension actually help you face those challenges. If we look at the issue of the existing applications, well, EGL provides the ability to invoke these systems directly, not through special adapters or special wizards, but just via simple native language verbs. Developers don't need to worry about protocols, data transformation, any binding issues. You know, integration is really, really totally seamless. And if you combine then this simple invocation mechanism with the ability to easily define and generate services in EGL, then of course you can, you know, then quickly service enable these legacy programs and immediately make your legacy become more flexible, more adaptable. And also the simple EGL support for web frameworks such as JSF is a very powerful way to include existing system into web-based or portal solutions. Another important role that EGL can play in dealing with legacy applications is the ability to actually transform existing legacy code into EGL specifications. EGL, as we saw, is a very concise, procedural, but modular architecture that makes it very, very good target for automated tools to transform legacy source programs. And we have a number of IBM business partners who specialize in this type of technology, specialize in application transformation and reengineering, and they have, in fact, created a set of automated tools and provide transformation services. So you can actually take that legacy and move it on to the 21st century. If we look at the skills issue, this is really EGL's sweet spot. EGL is extremely easy to learn. You can actually measure the learning curve in weeks rather than months or years, and that regardless of your current skills. Since any developer, therefore, can be proficient in EGL in a matter of weeks and don't need to specialize in any specific runtime platform technologies, if you use the Rational Business Developer extension, you immediately have a flexible pool of development resources. You no longer have islands and silos, and you can be much more responsive. And of course, as the platform skills, you know, the legacy platform skills starts diminishing with people retiring any new hire can easily learn EGL without having to go and learn all the nuances of mainframe programming and develop new services that will deploy natively to these mainframe environments. So this is a great advantage. And then finally, of course, the issue of platforms and middlewares, proliferation and fragmentation, and the fact that EGL is runtime agnostic and provides this higher level abstraction immediately allows IT organization to target multiple platforms and reuse software components across different environments, but still guaranteeing a native efficient deployment to those platforms. So that kind of sums up how this technology addresses those key issues. Before we close, I wanted to talk a little bit about productivity. In different points in this session, I talked about productivity advantage here, productivity advantage there. You know, we really wanted to get a sense of just, you know, how much more productive can you be or could you be if you use this technology instead of a traditional language or traditional tools. So what we did is conducted an internal study using the J2E industry standard Sun Pet Store application as the development specifications. And we measure the lines of code and the time required to implement it in, just native Java, just raw Java, or using an IDE for Java and J2E. And then finally, using Rational Business Developer Extension and coding in EGL. And the results were significant. They clearly confirm the productivity gains that you can expect through the use of this technology. Significant productivity gains. So let's move on to chart number 22. I just wanted to cover a couple of examples of customers that have actually experienced the benefits that I've been talking about. Morpheus is a regional systems integrator that recently discovered EGL and used it to implement a system to transform sort of a manual, paper-driven process of a large UK financial institution into a state-of-the-art web business-to-business type of solution. You know, in their words, EGL allowed us to staff an application project with developers that had different skills, and we were able to deliver the system in just 100 days. So that's really significant. And here, the advantage was that there was no common denominator technology, and yet the system had to be state-of-the-art and J2E-based. And so they were able to do that in a very, very short time, relatively short time. Another very representative customer experience or choice for EGL and choice of technology is KBC. KBC is a very large Belgian bank and insurance group that recently has been expanding with acquisitions and mergers in the Central Europe and Eastern Europe geographies. And their high focus is to cost reduction and providing synergy and integration with unification. And the objectives are their strategic objectives, of course, to create interchangeable developers, shifting their monolithic application architecture to a more, you know, flexible and web-based type of solutions that can incorporate both Unix and mainframe environments. The other important thing was to enable component-based architecture to support multi-site development because they have project teams scattered across different European countries, in Benelux, in Central Europe, Eastern Europe, and India. And then also one of the key things was the business wanted to create synergy and not redundancy, enabling all the different divisions and all the different subsidiaries to use the same business componentry. So these are very, very important goals that they have identified EGL as a key technology to help them achieve them. And if, in fact, you go to listen to a podcast on the web, Red Monk Radio recently recorded a podcast, and one of the architects at KBC actually mentioned trying to avoid the skill silos syndrome, right? And so it's very much in line with the value of EGL. So let me just summarize chart number 24. Rational Business Developer Extension really allows to achieve that rational business-driven development and help customers break those skill silos, leveraging the know-how of the developers without having to pay the price of the technological innovation. And so they are going to be able to build a very powerful solution, state-of-the-art solution, without the bite of the skill ramp and the relative high cost. So with lower risk, you know, increasing project success rate, lowering cost of training, lowering cost of development, and ultimately delivering the project to the business much faster. So with that, of course, there is plenty of information for you to go to our website and learn more about Rational Business Developer Extension, NEGL, and I hope that gave you, you know, a good insight and overview and maybe just spur some interest in you to talk to us about this exciting new technology. So with that, I'll pass it back to the operator.
Thank you, Stefano. Now we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will take your questions. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. For our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. For our second question, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level, press star 1, not technical enough, press star 2, or more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Question number 3. Do you plan to adopt a service-oriented architecture developing new services running on System Z? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. For our next question, do you plan to extend and include existing applications currently running on System Z to new web-based business solutions? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And for our final question, we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1, and no, press star 2. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's take your questions. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please release the mute function so that your signal can reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 for questions. And Stefano, I'll turn things back to you while we wait for questions.
Okay, thank you.
And again, that is star 1 for any questions or comments that you may have at this time. And it appears that we have no questions at this time. Mr. Sergi, I'll turn things back to you for closing remarks.
Okay. Well, thanks again for everybody taking the time to listening to our presentation today. And please visit us on the web to find out more information. And this concludes this conference.
Thank you. That concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect. Have a pleasant day.